from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's featured guest, founder of the Center for Neuroacoustic Research, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Shay Thompson. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Today, the day of this live broadcast of our episode, it just so happens to be the day many of us celebrate St. Patrick's Day. It also just so happens to be that Tricia Wall, friend, and our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue's daughter, is visiting. And the combination of those two occurrences inspired Tricia to cook a homemade dinner, a traditional St. Patrick's Day dinner, at least here in America, of corned beef and cabbage in honor of the feast day and her Irish heritage, and to make something for all her family here. I'm bringing this up because in order, evidently, to cook corned beef and cabbage from scratch, it has to slow cook all day, or at least for many, many hours. And so it did. Within a short time, the delicious smells of her home-cooked meal filled all the spaces of our place, and it continued for hours and hours. The smell affected me all day, in a very good way, I might add. Actually, whether I was thinking about it or not, or whether I wanted to think about it or not. So at times, I would be conscious of the smell, and at one time, it reminded me of being a kid and growing up with the various deliciousness that my mom would be cooking for hours and hours. Another time, as I went about my day, I became conscious of the smell, and it made me think of Thanksgiving and a turkey cooking in the oven. Another time, all of a sudden, I was thinking of homemade cookies, and I wondered, why am I thinking of homemade cookies? And I had to take a moment to realize that the smell of homemade cooking somehow connected my mind to homemade cookies, and there was that memory. And so in a sense, the smells wafting in the air were taking me down a memory lane of sorts, whether I wanted it to or not. Now, thankfully, the memories were all good, that I can tell, at least. But interestingly enough, while this was happening, I was working on tonight's show and learning more about what our guest has been doing and learning more about his music and entrainment and all these things that we're going to talk about in just a moment. And I thought, wait a minute. So I've not only been happily bombarded with smells, I've also been bombarded with sounds all day from outside and inside, from commercials and jingles and the news and whatever else, and phone calls and this and that. I've been bombarded by frequencies and energies. I've been bombarded by all kinds of things. And I wonder, some of them, what memory lane they might have taken me, or what reaction I might have had unbeknownst to me. And so how do we combat that? Or better yet, how do we counteract that to the point where potentially we could tip the scale for good and more good? And so I can't wait to have this conversation because our guest has the answer to that.
I know we're going to talk a lot about sounds and frequencies and such, but listening to that, maybe one day you can get Dr. Jeffrey to open a neuroacoustic research facility for you.
Well, interesting you say that, because we definitely know, for example, if we smell essential oils like lavender or something like that, that can affect us a certain way. I don't know that there's enough, and actually this is part of today's conversation, I think, of the sounds.
Well, I think we're going to learn a lot more about that. I do believe that different people are affected more deeply, but I know that energy imprint or sound imprints and smell imprints and certainly they all factor into taking you back into this, I think they call it state dependent learning. You know, when you're in a certain state. So that could be a certain frequency, a certain vibe, right? Or a certain smell.
Yeah, actually, I like that state dependent. And as a matter of fact, there are a few words that I've learned today that I hope we get to talk about. The episode is called How to Manage Stress with Biotuning, there's a word, and Brainwave Entrainment. Now, our guest has such a curriculum in his life that too much to mention, but Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, he is so much. He's a doctor in chiropractics. He's a world premier sound healing researcher, a brainwave entrainment expert, a physician, a musician as well, a composer, an inventor, an educator, an author, a high-tech personal transformation innovator, motivator, futurist, and founder director of the Center for Neuroacoustic Research. Now, that's just part of it, but we welcome Dr. Jeffrey Thompson to the Life Changes Show.
That's great. Anybody who wants to feel good about themselves should do up their own CV and read it.
And I hope you do feel good about yourself, and thank you for bringing yourself to the show.
Just as an intro, you were talking about smell. Did you know that over 5 years ago, there was a major research project that postulates with good evidence that the smell is not that chemical lock and key system that we all learned? It's the nerve endings on the side of your nose are sensitive to the resonance of different molecules and compounds, and that's what smell is.
Oh, like vibrational, back to frequency?
Vibrational resonance.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
That's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show, and that's not what we're here to talk about. But
but in a way, it's the same thing. We're talking same about thing. All the same thing. Wow.
It's vibration. It's vibrational energies, yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. Well, actually, it's a great place to start. And yet, the word that I used that I was telling you about when we spoke was allostatic load. So I'd rather start there because I think that just sets the tone for the rest of it. I didn't know what it was.
Most people don't. It's a loaded word, that's for sure. And it's allostatic load, in case anybody wants to do a Google search. See, it's a medical term for the ability of your autonomic nervous system, the master control center inside your brain, to manage stress. So the international global scientific and medical community in the world recognize that stress is the cause of disease. And what's really meant by that is not so much stress is the cause of disease, but the ability of your stress handling center, the autonomic nervous system, to handle the stresses coming at you from the inside world of your body and the outside world around you, to neutralize those stresses and maintain a balanced state called homeostasis. And homeostasis means that neither the sympathetic is on, pulling all your energy to fight for your life, or the parasympathetic is not on, pulling your energy to digest your food and eliminate toxins. If neither one of those systems is on, they're both off and zeroed out. And your autonomic nervous system is in a zero stress state, an enviable place to be, your safe place. Mm. And when this balance takes place between sympathetic and parasympathetic, the state called homeostasis, the energy that either of those two systems would have been using is now drained back into the reservoir. And homeostasis, balance of sympathetic, parasympathetic, The reservoir is now full. Now the internal physician program can come back online and work on its list of 1,000 things to do that are monitoring all your body systems and your organs and glands and biochemistry and meridians and all the rest of it. It's monitoring all those systems and sending signals back down to them to keep them balanced and harmonized. And that right there is a picture of a perfectly healthy person. This concept of allostatic load is a description of, can the autonomic nervous system achieve this zero stress state of homeostasis under increasing levels of stress? So we all start out, you know, as hopefully we start out with a good childhood, and then at some point life starts beating you up. There's stresses, there's traumas, there's things that happen to you. Some of them are really big traumas. Underlying it is a sort of the regular grinding stresses of your life. But your body is strong enough to handle all that and still achieve homeostasis in the neutral state. But as your life goes on and more stresses begin to accumulate in your life, the autonomic nervous system has to adapt to these larger areas of stress and create a new set point of homeostasis on a continual basis as it adapts to higher and higher levels of stress and creates new set points.
New set points in the sense that it's still stress, but it's less stress than it would be, and it keeps going higher?
It's able to reach a zero stress point even under higher levels of stress.
You're
adapting to the stress.
Okay.
Right? So I had this experience.
Ideally.
That's what a healthy person looks like. And when the stresses coming at you get too big, sooner or later, you're going to hit a wall. The stresses are bigger than you are. And at that point, the adaptation is over. You can't adapt anymore. And that's what's called negative allostatic load. Positive allostatic load is you can successfully adapt to higher levels of stress and still achieve zero stress in the system. Internal physician can come back online and keep me healthy. But once you've lost that, once you go into negative allostatic load, and the body is in this impossible situation, it's now what am I going to do? And what it does as a survival technique is put the foot on the gas and bullnose your way through life and the stresses with momentum as a survival tactic. So from that point on, sympathetic is dominant and stuck there. And the ramifications of that are huge, because if the sympathetic is stuck in the on position, my reservoir is drained out into my muscles to fight for my life. And we also know that the stress response pulls the energy from my gut, elimination systems, immune systems, higher brain centers, chronically. That's being used to fight for my life. It's kicking the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are racing. My blood pressure is high. Adrenaline suppresses pancreatic function, so my blood sugar is high. The two biggest prescriptions in the Western industrialized world, blood pressure medication and pre-diabetes pills. And you can't sleep. You can't get to the deep stage of sleep where you're most vulnerable. The deepest stage of sleep, delta sleep, where the physical recuperation takes place, that's where you're most completely out cold and most difficult to wake up. Your body won't let you go there. So in my therapeutic approaches in clinical practice, that was the first thing that we needed to recover, was homeostasis and using brainwave entrainment to entrain you to your own deep delta brain state to recuperate the sleep loss. We'll discuss that in a bit, but there's a relationship between a sound frequency that is highly precise, accurate to a few decimal points, that can hit the reset button at the autonomic level and return and break the vicious cycle of the sympathetic on and return it to homeostasis. And how that works is the gold standard also in scientific community for assessing allostatic load is something called heart rate variability. And heart rate variability, many people have now heard of because of Fitbit and an Oura ring and a finger clip that read pulse.
Even our phones, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, you've got an app on your phone. It goes with something you're wearing on your wrist or a ring that you're wearing on your finger that's measuring the heartbeat pulse. And heart rate variability is measuring two things. One of them is the space between each heartbeat in microseconds. And it turns out that the more uneven the space is between each heartbeat, the more healthy you are. And when I first heard that, it was a shock to me. I thought, wait a second, wouldn't the more perfectly lined up and
right?
And that's a good lesson for all of us because it really points out that my rational thinking mind, my idea of what perfection is in the universe, doesn't always align with what the universe has in store for us.
You too?
So for me, I'm going, but wait a second, wouldn't more perfectly aligned be better? And then when I started to understand the physiology of what's going on, it turns out that the metronome, the more metronome and exactly the same they are, becomes the world's most accurate predictor of your death by any disease process, including mostly heart attack. That's the reason, that's one of the two reasons why heart rate variability is the worldwide gold standard, because of its ability to measure your current state of physical health and to predict your death by any disease process by analyzing the space between each heartbeat. Pretty wild. When I thought about it more, I began to realize that because I was seeing patients coming in. I was in practice for 40 years, so I've seen tens of thousands of patient visits, measuring them with this heart rate variability thing. And nobody had a normal system. Everybody was running a fight or flight response. Now, granted, I was the witch doctor at the end of the trail where everybody was coming, flying in from different countries because everything else had failed. So yes, they're all in trouble. So it's skewed to a bit. But
can you say the witch doctor because this was not traditional?
Because I had all kinds of holistic technologies and practices that I was doing all woven together in a unique kind of setup. And I had this sound work that I had done that's unique in the world. I have patents on all this stuff. So at one point I remember I live in San Diego. And my mother and sister live in Virginia. And I bought them plane tickets to come out to San Diego to see how I live. I always go visit there. I wanted to show my mother how I live. So I picked them up at the airport. I'm driving back on the highway, back up to my house. And it's a beautiful day. It's sunny and there's palm trees. And I'm thinking, this is great. You know, they're going to be loving this. And I look in the back, looks in the mirror in the back, and they're back there hanging on for dear life. And I'm going, what's going on? I'm going, oh, that's right. In Virginia, every once in a while, you'll see a car. Here in California, it's bumper to bumper, 80 miles an hour, and you're going too slow. People are weaving in and out of traffic. And I'm realizing that I didn't even notice. It used to be like them when I first moved to California. And I have successfully adapted, and now that's invisible to me because my autonomic nervous system has created a new set point. it doesn't bother me anymore. I've taken it into account. I've worked it into my system. I've adapted myself up to a new set point for 80 miles an hour going too slow with people weaving in and out of traffic, right? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So the so when I'm looking at the fact that everybody who comes in has got a high sympathetic on, stuck in that position, and I'm thinking to myself, my body, the DNA of my body that runs the system and designs the system and differentiates the tissues and makes it all work and automatic without me thinking about it. The internal physician program, a biological organic intelligence that knows how to grow me out of two cells. That part of me is ancient, and it's running a different order of program than my small mind, my rational thinking mind, is aware of. As a matter of fact, the program that all of us are running in our bodies is a program for 10,000 years ago. Because my body is designed to make slow adaptive changes to the Earth's environment, which is slowly changing over time. And we've got plenty of generations to manipulate the DNA to make the adaptive evolutionary changes that we need. But since, you know, the turn of the century in the 20th century, it was off to the races with the Industrial Revolution, and now it's accelerated to the point where it's really insane and is expanding exponentially. And our bodies are still wired to wake up with the sun and grab your spear and go chase some little animal. And the sympathetic turns on for both of you, but the race is over in a few minutes. It's a temporary sprint. Then it's back to homeostasis, and I cook the animal and I eat the animal, and then as parasympathetic turns on, empties the reservoir, and when that's over, it comes back, and that's my work day. And that is not the work day of anybody that I know in 21st century. We're not waking up with the sun, we're waking up with an alarm clock. And it's a running around thing in the morning, and then it's in a traffic jam to some stupid job in a cubicle. And then another traffic jam, and then a fast dinner, and watch the news, and watch the world burn, electromagnetic frequencies, and weird stuff in your food, and you know what I'm talking about. This is the 21st century.
I think we all know what you're talking about.
The 21st century, I believe, is a hidden cause of a 21st century disease of stress that is cranking all of us into a sympathetic dominance as a survival tactic, because our bodies are designed for a sprint and we're living in a marathon. And we need another 10,000 years of adaptive change to meet the change that we're facing right now.
Okay, so I'm starting to get stressed thinking we don't have 10,000 years.
Yeah, we don't have 10,000 years. So that means that it's sort of like, you know, our technology is bringing the world to ruin, but at the same time, it's technology to the rescue. Because now our technology, like never before, can peer into the very functioning of your brain. It can do really advanced levels of brain mapping with EEG. It can look inside your autonomic nervous system like we're doing on a computer screen that's live. I can see your sympathetic, parasympathetic live on my computer screen. And I can see that the sympathetic is stuck on. And I know that from an international standpoint is the cause of disease. And the question now is, what can you do about that? Mm-hmm. And for me, the innovation is, and what I'm calling biotuning that you mentioned, is there's a sound that is highly precise, accurate to a few decimal points, that will hit the reset button and break the vicious cycle of the stress and return the whole system back to zero. And I don't know what frequency that is, so I created a sound sweep of all frequencies from 50 hertz to 200 hertz delivered into your body through a specially designed sound chair where the vibration is in your cells. And as that tone is slowly untuning itself through this big range, as it approaches the frequency that works for you, you can see the autonomic nervous system collapsing its stress. And as it gets closer, more stress collapses until it hits the magic frequency and the sympathetic, parasympathetic balance out at zero. And the computer program is looking for that and pops up a window that displays what frequency made that happen.
Wow.
Like 128.3256 hertz.
Wow.
And now I know that anytime I play that frequency, it returns the system back to zero. Now, because of sound, I can give it to you as a soundtrack to use at home. We can do a session on the sound chair with headphones and turn their lights out. That's awesome. But unless you can afford to buy one and bring it home, then the rest of that week is with headphones. And every time you listen to the headphones, it restores the system to zero. And every time the system goes to zero, it gets stronger to go to zero. This is neuroplasticity. This
is a
learned neurological response. This is going to a gym for the autonomic nervous system.
Wow.
Muscling up its ability to reach its homeostasis set point under these sort of unimaginable levels of stress. So once we have trained the system back up to normal, so that becomes the new normal, we actually have used science to assist your adaptability to a 21st century level of stress. And essentially, we can't bring you back to a normal set point because it doesn't exist in the 21st century. We have to keep exercising you until we've sort of Arnold Schwarzeneggered up your autonomic nervous system to be seriously muscle bound. So we have to exercise the autonomic nervous system into a advanced state of muscled up function in order to be normal in the 21st century. And create a new set point.
Does the frequency change depending on where one is in their life or what they're experiencing from one year to the next, potentially?
I didn't see that happen.
Wow.
Although that's a deeper discussion, but let's touch a little bit on it. There's a difference between me as a clinician and me as a scientific researcher. I wear both hats back and forth. But when I have patients in the office, it's my clinician hat that always wins. You're hiring me, you're delivering your body to me with a great responsibility. You've got something wrong nobody can fix, you come to me. It's my responsibility now to do whatever I can in order to help you. And I'm going to collect all kinds of different things and I'm going to throw everything at you. I'm going to throw the whole plate of spaghetti against the wall and I don't care what sticks as long as you get better. Mm-hmm. As I do that process over the years, it seems to me, it becomes obvious that the sound portion of what I'm doing is predominant by far. And so pretty soon I realized that's the important part. The big important part is return the system to homeostasis and maintain it and exercise it to get there. But I'm finding a frequency that works. Then I'm doing it in a 30-minute session and observing your nervous system in the process to make sure that it's holding. Now I feel comfortable to give that to you as a soundtrack to take home. In a week, you're going to come back and I'm going to hook you up again and see how we're doing. And in every case, your systems are getting better. Your indicators are getting smoother. The system is becoming more coherent. Your symptoms are going away. and I'm using the same frequency. There's no reason for me to explore any other kind of frequency, you know. Although the scientist part would go, I wonder if this is the best of the best. Maybe there's something better.
Mm,
right? We need to do some research to find out. But the clinical part of me is going, excuse me, but this is working just
it's
fine.
Working.
And many people are getting well. And there's people in the waiting room. And I don't have time to do a whole bunch of research stuff right now. Mm. So on the other hand, if I get somebody who has been working for a while, they've been using this soundtrack for a few months, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call that says, you know, I used to love this soundtrack, and now it just agitates me. What's going on? And I'm thinking, aha, maybe the tone has shifted. And so I bring them back in and I have a discussion. And sure enough, the tone has shifted for that person. Mm. This is like maybe 5% of the people I saw over the years. And the discussion was always pretty similar. What happened just before when you didn't like the track anymore? They had a major life-changing
right.
release, and a big chunk of information happened, and they realized that something big. Mom and Dad didn't get a divorce because of me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wasn't my fault. It had nothing to do with me. As a matter of fact, they stayed together longer to their detriment to save me from a broken home. It wasn't my fault. And when I get that, really, and it blows up and it evaporates away, all the symptoms that were tied into the smoke screen arising from that trauma, that self-defeating belief system, that smoke screen clears away, and I'm down to the lowest bedrock of myself, which might be slightly different frequency.
Wow.
By a few cents. We can tune between two notes on a piano by 100 steps with a digital readout. So it's
wow.
Your frequency might have been A sharp plus 23 cents. And now it's A sharp plus 27 cents.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. That is very, very precise. I'm looking at so much of what I was hoping we can discuss. And thankfully, actually, in the performance guest segment, we're going to get to hear some of what you're talking about, but in a different form. And actually, really quickly, I want to say that you also offer sounds for people that can help them in general and also with sleep and those kinds of things, right? Can we talk about that real quickly before we move on?
Yeah, that's the brain entrainment part, and me as a musician and a composer. I compose music. I've got 90 soundtracks sold all over the world, and they're in categories with brainwave entrainment and certain types of composed music and a number of layers of stuff in order to affect brainwave change and states of consciousness change. So meditation, boosting creativity, relaxation, stress reduction, memory learning, the flow state, Schumann resonance. I have, and so those are generic for 80% of the people on a bell curve, which was derived from observations of patients over 40 years. It became pretty obvious which brain frequencies work for different kind of things, and that could guide me into how to align the music compositions with the entrainment. That's what the generic soundtracks are on scientificsounds.com. The two soundtracks that you have today, one of them is the flow state, and there's been a ton of research into that. The flow state is one of the many borderline states. By the way, we have pioneered 22 different brain states that we work with beyond the original five. Beta, alpha, theta, delta was the original four. Then they added gamma when that was discovered in the 80s. They still haven't added a number of other ones. I discovered a brain frequency in 1989 called Epsilon below Delta. There's a default mode network, the most cutting edge in neuroscience, that was discovered in 2001. That's not on the list yet. But the borderline states are significant. They did a series of studies with high IQ prodigy kids who have a IQ of 180 and above, and they did all kinds of EEG studies. What's in their brains? Is there something different? And the answer is yes. It's what they discovered was a high amplitude brain activity at the borderline between beta and alpha. And normally nobody paid attention to borderlines. You step over a borderline from beta to alpha. Nobody suspected that the borderline itself is a new brain state. And the borderline between theta, between alpha and theta, is another one. That's the about somewhere between 7 and 8 hertz, and that's where the Schumann resonance is at 7.83 hertz, and that's where the flow state is at 7.5 hertz. So the flow soundtrack that you've got is 7.5 hertz in training your brainwaves to the flow state.
Let's talk about the specific pieces as we get, when we come back for that. But the general topic of being able to sleep with certain frequencies and yep. being able to de-stress yep. with maybe not specific frequencies, but enough, right, with general yeah. frequencies.
Yeah, it's got to do with how your body automatically functions. One of the functions is ecological. I'm trying to get the most work with the least amount of energy expended. And one of the mechanisms of that is my body clocks, my circadian rhythms. So there's a little organelle inside the center of your brain called the suprachiasmic nucleus, tied into the pineal gland that's sensitive to light-dark cycles. You set your body thermostat for the correct season by having that system time you to the length of the day throughout the year, summer equinox, winter equinox. If you're a woman, you have an ovulation cycle every 28 and a half days because that same system is timing your ovulation to the full moon, new moon. And so if you have, you can take that, because the brain is looking into the environment unconsciously for rhythms to time itself to save energy. And if I create a sound pulsing at a brainwave speed built into a musical soundtrack, your brainwaves will use that pulse in order to time itself to. And that's the secret behind brainwave entrainment. Your brainwaves are commandeering your system that's already looking for a partner to dance with, and we're creating the most dominant partner to dance with.
Wow.
And the system will follow. And so that means that if we can look at, say, you can't sleep, like what I was talking about. If you're running a stress response all the time, you'll be losing a very specific part of sleep, the deep delta range. That's around 4 hertz down to 0.5 hertz. That deep sleep range is where you've got lowest heart rate, respiration, body temperature, cellular processes. That's when the physical body is recuperating. And if I use a brainwave entrainment frequency of deep delta, and you listen to it at night when you go to bed, it's going to entrain your brainwaves right down to that zone and hold it there. Wow. and break that vicious cycle. And the sleep CDs that I've got are some of the most successful I've ever done. The Delta Sleep System, has sold millions of copies. And I mean, just on YouTube, it had 17 million views. It was taken up by Time Life at one point, and they shot an infomercial, and it showed for 2 years on primetime. It's been very successful. It's been researched at the Royal Ottawa Sleep Research Center, Canada. It's been around.
And you've just released a System 3.0, Delta Sleep System 3.0.
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm mistaken, but those can be found, well, a lot of different places, but scientificsounds.com, right?
That's the one.
Scientificsounds.com, absolutely. And we have several other links. We may end up talking about Sky Lounge in a little bit, Sky, S-K-Y-E, lounge.com, yeah, when we come back. But we have links at the Life Changes show pages for both Dr. Jeffrey Thompson and also for Shay Thompson, who we'll talk about in a little bit when we come back. We're going to go to our next segment, but you will be staying with us, Dr. Jeffrey, because there's much more to talk about.
I'll be here.
And we'll get to hear some of what we're talking about here. Mark, yeah, this cool. is one of those interviews that we could talk all day because that's how deep and how important these are.
By the way, it's best to have headphones once those start.
And well, I'll share that I had the good fortune of experiencing the Sky Lounge and Dr. Jeffrey a couple of times, and the headphones, and it was really fascinating to have the physical reaction to your proper frequency, and then understand how we're you know, entrained into a survival frequency. So that way, when the right frequency comes along, it doesn't feel like it fits at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. But
oh, that's really, there's an adjustment that.
Yeah, that happens over time. You become more and more entrained to it. But it's, you know, that's why when you're in a certain emotion and certain music doesn't seem to resonate, well, if your body's fighting or flighting, and suddenly you give it, you know, balance, it doesn't
so we've
fit the mold.
So used to being in stress mode or whatever it is, or run mode, that's something that actually is good for our body and helps us go to that homeostasis.
It seems familiar, foreign. It does not seem familiar at first.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating. And case in point, so much to talk about here. But at first, before we move on, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Darlene, and I have a good friend who is constantly telling me that I have great intuition. I feel that I'm more tuned in sometimes and not so tuned in at other times. How can we know when to trust our intuition? How do we know if we are just wanting something to happen rather than knowing it is going to happen?
That is a really thoughtful question, Darlene. Trusting intuition can be tricky because it's often not something that's easily defined. It's that feeling of knowing without really knowing how or why. But the line between intuition and desire can sometimes blur, especially when we're hoping for a specific outcome. Intuition tends to feel calm and certain. It's not frantic or wishful. It's almost like a quiet knowing that doesn't need to be forced. If what you're feeling is more about wanting something to happen, it might be driven by desire, and that can sometimes cloud judgment. For example, if you're feeling intuitively sure about a career move, it might feel like a calm internal knowing that it's the right step. However, if you're hoping it will work out because it aligns with your desires, it might feel more like nervous excitement or even anxiety. Your intuition will often manifest as a subtle nudge, while desire can feel more like a pull. Pay attention to how you feel over time, especially if your intuition is guiding you towards something you don't want but feel you need. If your intuition feels aligned with your true self, it's more likely to be a genuine knowing, not just wishful thinking. You can also reflect on past times when you trusted your intuition. Were there moments when it led you to success or clarity, even when your mind was telling you otherwise? Recalling those experiences can help you distinguish intuition from wishful thinking. Trusting intuition comes from learning to recognize its pattern rather than letting emotion or personal hopes cloud it. For me, intuition often comes with physical sensations like a gut feeling, a sense of ease, or even discomfort. You might get a sense that something is right or wrong, even if your mind hasn't fully processed the reasoning yet. Desire, on the other hand, can sometimes lead to internal tension or restlessness because it's attached to an outcome you're hoping for. So please take a moment to pause and really listen. When you're feeling an intuitive pull, notice if it's a clear thought or something more emotional. If it's purely emotional, like a sudden surge of excitement, it might be more about your desire. Intuition tends to feel more neutral, free from emotional chaos. It's not always easy to separate the two, especially when we're emotionally invested in an outcome. However, with practice and awareness, the line becomes clearer.
And if you intuit that you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
For our performance segment, technically, we have a composer, a musician, a sound engineer, a producer. He is also the CEO and founder of Sky Collective, Sky Lounge, and MindLink LLC, and co-owner of the Center for Neuroacoustic Research. He is the son of Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, our guest, and he is Shay Thompson. Now, Shay is in Germany right now doing something very exciting, so this is perfect that his father is now going to get to share some of the music that we've already started talking about. But before we do that, Dr. Jeffrey, can you tell us your son's involvement in the actual music?
First of all, he's my sound engineer from my recordings. The final mastering and adjusting the mix and all the rest of that. The one project, the Hard Strings soundtrack that we'll hear at the very end, that one was composed for a documentary film that I was part of called On a Scale of 1 to 10. It's about holistic approaches to chronic pain. And that particular composition is about 4 minutes long. It starts out with guitar. Shay was playing that guitar. And then a piano piece comes in and some flutes. The piano is a grand piano that I've got about 10 feet from me here in my recording studio. And that was Louise Hay's piano, that grand piano. She and I knew each other for 28 years, and eventually we became a couple.
Oh.
And after she died, I got the piano.
Oh.
And so that piano is the piano piece that you're hearing on the Hard Strings piece. And then the whole purpose of the Hard Strings piece was to open the heart and open an emotional response. So you'll hear that there will be this guitar thing and then some piano, some flute stuff, and then all of a sudden it will open up and become this sort of down the rabbit hole, Alice in Wonderland, shamanic journey, something or other. And then that will come down out of the clouds and appear as if it's about to stop, but it hits ground and begins a new little piece that is the final opening of the heart. You'll see. And it really, these recordings really shine with headphones because we're using all kinds of different layers of sound, and we're doing a lot of processing with this method that we have for producing 3D. It's called the EASE system, E-A-S-E. That's Enhanced Audio Spatial Environment. We're adjusting sound waves in the right left ears when you've got headphones on, and it causes the brain, it tricks the brain into manufacturing the 3D that you're hearing. The 3D is not on the soundtrack, it's in your brain. And that's the same kind of thing that's going on with binaural beats, where you've got two tones, one in the right and one in the left ear. They're slightly out of tune. And the amount of out of tuneness is a brainwave frequency. So if you've got 100 hertz in one ear and 105 in the other ear, you've got a 5-cycle-a-second sort of pulsing.
Wow.
And that's a theta brainwave frequency, and it will entrain your brainwaves there. And theta is where you go in dreaming sleep. And dreaming sleep is always emotional, and that's where emotions get healed. And also that's the realm for Aboriginal dream time. That's the realm of shamanic journeying. All takes place in theta. And so the heartstrings sound, heartstring song is theta, emotional opening. And the first soundtrack is the flow state. And there's been a lot of research into the flow state that the, you know, that you get in this flow state and everything goes perfect. It's the hole in one. It's Tiger Woods queuing up the ball with 50,000 people watching and $100 million riding on this shot. And somehow he blanks it all out, goes into a Buddha state, into the flow state, and it's him and the ball and nothing else exists, and the ball goes right in the hole. That's the flow state. And that's associated with a borderline state between alpha and theta at 7.5 hertz. So that's what's going on in that soundtrack.
And so we encourage people, if they want to experience that and they're not driving, of course, to
yes.
put on headphones. And yeah. And also, just so that we know, the flow state, we'll only be playing about three and a half minutes worth of it, but there are two parts to it, right? And they're both about a half hour long.
Yes. And okay. That soundtrack, like all my soundtracks, is a constant evolution of the music. So it doesn't stay static. It doesn't repeat. It keeps going and changing and using new instrumentation. I never use the same instruments twice. It evolves and it changes. So taking one little section of 3 minutes out shows you that one little section of the experience, which continues to grow and evolve and change.
Right. And right. Good point. And well, here it is. We'll get to hear it. Of course, it's pre-recorded. And this is Dr. Jeffrey Thompson and Shay's involvement in this as well, I know, as sound engineer.
Yes.
Shay Thompson. And let's hear it now on the Life Changes show, a few minutes of The Flow State.
there it is, the flow state, or at least a part of it. And again, there's so much material, as you have heard in discussion, but this can be found at Scientific Sounds, just as it's spelled, scientificsounds.com. And whether you're on Shay's page or Dr. Jeffrey's page, we have links. So Center for Neuroacoustic Research is where you can learn about some of what we were talking about earlier. Sky Lounge is an actual place that Mark was actually talking about, and Dr. Jeffrey referred to. Sky-collective.com, Sky being S-K-Y-E. Again, we have those links and more at the Life Changes page for both Dr. Jeffrey and for Shay. So, Dr. Jeffrey, I obviously, when one listens to that, one starts to pause, and there's a cumulative effect. You talked about the 3D effect. You talked about the binaural beats. You talked about layering. What is the best, like, we might not want to put this on and do things around the house, like, or do we clean the house with it, potentially, even?
Actually, that's a really good point. When there is, in the esoteric traditions of the secret societies, only a certain part of that information gets out to the public. In the esoteric circles, it was called, you know, exoteric is the masses. Esoteric is sort of the priesthood, and esoteric is the Pope, so to speak. Like the archives in the Vatican, we will all never see. And most of the priests in the world will never see it. The cardinals might see it, the Pope will see it. But there's certain esoteric secrets about meditation that's the same kind of thing. The how you begin is you sit quietly to try to get to know yourself. And then you realize that there's all this noise and chatter. And it's hard to quiet the mind. And many masters have said, you know, Zen masters like Suzuki has said, you don't fight the noise. You step aside from the noise and you observe the noise like anything else that you're observing. You're observing your breathing. You're observing sounds on the street. You're observing smell in the air. None of it has any more importance than anything else. You're observing the chatter in your brain. You leave all the doors of your house open and let things wander in and out, but you don't pay any attention to them and you don't invite them for tea.
Okay.
All right. So eventually they quiet out because they're not getting the job done of distracting you. If you use something like a Tibetan bowl, there had to have been the first monk who came from behind some monastery with that first Tibetan bowl.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, somebody had to do it first. Comes out and the monks are going, what's that? And he rubs a stick on it and the sound comes out and cuts through all the channel, all the chatter, right down to the core of yourself, and everybody freaks out and goes, wait a second, what is that? I mean, how did you do that? It cut through all the chatter like right now. It took me 15 years to get there. Right? Back then, 3,000 years ago, that was a high-tech device. And if the next time you get a hold of a Tibetan bowl, you rub that thing and you will hear that inside that beautiful sound, there's a pulsing at a brainwave speed.
Oh.
Those bowls were designed to entrain your brainwaves. 3,000 years ago, they knew this stuff. Wow. There's a brainwave pulsing going on in those bowls. So that was a high-tech device, you know, 3,000 years ago. So these high-tech devices that we're surrounding ourselves with, it's the same old, but more bells and whistles. And able to get the job done better. But it's the same impetus for us to try to figure out how do we bypass all the blood, sweat, and tears that's sort of unnecessary. So, you know, so this concept of brainwave entrainment is tapping into how my bio clocks work. My body is timing itself to the world, looking for the dominant pulses in the world to time my circadian rhythms to so that I can save energy. I can commandeer the system by knowing that and creating the most dominant field in your environment as a sound field. And in that field are these sound pulses that are pulsing at a brainwave speed. And in the case of the last soundtrack, that speed is 7.5 hertz. Puts your brain at a very specific place where certain things happen. The real way to listen to these soundtracks is with good headphones on one of my sound chairs, because these, all of these soundtracks are designed to play your body as well as your mind. But you wouldn't know that unless you had a sound chair to experience it with. Then you realize there's a whole new dimension of the composition that you weren't aware of.
Wow. Layers upon layers. In the meantime, this is a shortcut to going to Tibet and sitting for hours.
Yeah. A shortcut. It's sort of like the tagline is hurry up and relax.
So you are the one who's coming around the corner with the new and better bowl for us to enjoy.
The new and the better bowl. I like that. I like that idea. And the same thing with the Delta Sleep 3.0. 1.0 became the most successful sleep soundtrack that ever got made. And then I came up with 2.0 after new research findings about the nature of sleep. And now there's been a long time since 2.0 came out, and I'm just coming out with 3.0 because all new kinds of stuff has been discovered about how the brain works and how sleep works. And new discoveries that we've made in 3D processing and binaural beats and primordial sounds and those kind of things. So the idea was to now create, once again, the most advanced sleep soundtrack in the world.
As you're developing more, as technology actually develops more and you're moving forward with that. So, well, thank you for doing that and sharing that. You have given us permission to play all of this next piece, and actually it is not out yet?
No. Not out yet. It'll be part of another album, but we have, like, you know, 50 projects and time to do 3.
Yes. Well, tell us the I know Heart is in the title. What is the whole title?
It's called Heartstrings. It was, I composed this one for a documentary film I was in,
right,
called On a Scale of 1 to 10, that's about holistic approaches to chronic pain. Right. On a Scale of 1 to 10, look it up. And the concept was to open the heart to both in the brainwave entrainment, which is theta. Theta is where heart opening takes place. Theta is where creativity happens. Theta is where emotional healing takes place in dreaming sleep. And dreams are emotional, right? You're being chased by the boogeyman and you think it's real. Emotions is getting healed during dreaming sleep, and therefore theta is where that kind of thing takes place. And that's why this soundtrack is theta brainwave entrainment. It starts out with a guitar. Shay played the guitar. The piano that comes in is a Louise Hayes piano, which is sitting 10 feet from me. It's a grand piano. Then there's some flutes and things, and then that whole beginning sequence sort of opens up, and the skylight opens up, And everybody goes into the rabbit hole backwards.
Well, before we go further into the rabbit hole,
yeah.
Speaking, this is Mark Legere. I wanted to chime in because speaking of heartstrings and healing, I felt this was a great opportunity to give a quick shout out to our dear friend Nate Zalesnik and past guest who made this introduction to you. And Nate's working through some challenges right now of his own health, and so I wanted to bring him into the room and offer up this track for Nate and Speedy Healing and as a thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Well, actually, with that, let's go right into it. This is Dr. Jeffrey Thompson's piece, of which you will also hear Shay Thompson. This is Heartstrings. You'll hear it here on the Life Changes Show now. Thank you. want it to end. Heartstrings. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you so much for sharing everything that you have shared. There has been something here, I am sure, for everyone, and certainly to pay attention to the sounds and the frequencies and the people and how we're racing. And so look into, we encourage you to look into the various links, learn more about this, the various products that are out there. Scientificsounds.com is a great place to go. Center for Neuroacoustic Research.com, excellent as well. Skylounge.com, SKYE, lounge.com. Sky, spelled the same way, -collective.com. So much information. What a wealth of information. And Dr. Thompson, do you feel like there's, like you've just scratched the surface, or you're about like you got it now, or obviously not if you've done sleep system 1, 2, and 3?
Oh yeah, no, there's, I think some wise man said there's no end to learning. The, you never graduate from this school. The esoteric tradition, as I was mentioning before, was that you first of all learn to meditate by sitting quietly across on a pillow or something, but at some time in your life, you graduate. You graduate from that school, and you bring the meditation into your life, not just on your butt in a room for an hour in the evening or whatever it's going to be. Your life is your meditation. Your life is why you're washing the dishes. Your life is why you're sweeping the floor. Meditation in action. Every minute Zen. So yes, the question was, yes, at some point you graduate and you wear the headphones and listen to the soundtrack while you're doing your stuff around the house, and it transforms that experience and makes it a sacred thing to wash a dish or to put your handle on a door and twist it and open it.
Well, this has felt like a sacred thing to be able to share like this with you, information that is important for us all on so many levels. So thank you both. Thank you to you, Dr. Jeffrey, and to Shay as well, for continuing what you started many, many years ago. And from what it sounds like a whole other show too, what you also did with Louise Hay. Much here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Here. This is a great show.
What a pleasure. I look forward to more coming from both your camps. Again, a big thank you to Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, and a big thank you to Shay Thompson and everything he's doing. And hopefully we can actually have him on the show someday as well. In the meantime, all the best to you, and thank you.
Thank you.
And with that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejour, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like yours, all of ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.